John.
Now, there are some that will hear my words this morning, and they see no evidence of why they should believe the gospel. They look and they hear the things spoken, and they just see no evidence why they should believe God. They don't see any facts that convinces them that this is the Word of God. I've heard men actually say, I just wish we had some witness that could show me that these things are really so. Well, they won't receive the word because of these things, but somebody comes along and some man comes along and he's speaking some mystical philosophy and has no witnesses to back it up. Has no evidence, no facts to back up these claims he's making, and men will just jump on it. They'll just jump on it. They'll take it, receive it, hook, line, and sinker. And it's just something that tickles the ears. And you know, in everyday life, we receive the witness of men without evidence, without facts, without witnesses. We receive their testimony. Comes to our food that we eat, we just believe what men tell us about it. Comes to medicine, we don't have the witness to the facts to show that all this is, we just taking a man's word for it. Taking men's word for it. We do this every day in our life, in business. We receive the witness of men and believe what men say. What about the court of law? We receive the witness of men in a court of law. What's required in a court of law for a witness to be a credible witness? Well, you have to have more than one witness. There has to be two or more witnesses for the word to be established. It has to be a credible witness. That means they have to be truthful. They have to be of good character. And then they have to the corroborating witnesses, they have to agree their testimony, what they speak has to all agree with one another, and then we'll receive this witness that men speak. And there's no doubt, we receive the witness of men. We do it in our lives every day, when there's not even really proper witnesses. We do it in courts of law, we receive the witness of men. Look at what he says in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. If we receive the witness of God, why wouldn't we receive, the witness of men, why wouldn't we receive the witness of God? The witness of God's far greater than the witness of men, and what he's testifying to is to his own Son. I want to talk to you a little while this morning about the great witness. The great witness. We should receive the witness of God. We should receive the Word, the truth, the gospel, the witness of God, because it's the greatest witness there is. It's the greatest testimony. It's far greater than the testimony of men. And this is God's testimony of His own Son, of eternal life. Believe this testimony. You receive this witness. This is life eternal. I want to do two things in this message. One, I want to comfort you who believe. I want you to see what great witness God's given us. What He's given us, the testimony that's so great. And this is so comforting to us. We have a great, great witness that God's given us. And then two, for you that are skeptical, I want you to see just how great the witness of God is in declaring that His Son is the Christ. He is the Son of God, God's anointed, He is salvation. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He's testified of His Son. Now for my points this morning, I want to use the three things that are necessary in a court of law for a witness. First of all, has God provided more than one witness? Has He provided two or more witnesses? Secondly, is the witness of God truthful? Is it a credible witness He's provided? And three, do all the witnesses agree? Do their testimony agree? And what is it that we're looking here? What is it that we're bearing witness to? What's God bearing witness to? This is the testimony that God has testified of His Son, it says. Now look back up at verse 6. This is He, talking about Jesus, the Son of God, this is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. What that's declaring, I preached a message on this a week or so ago. And what that's declaring is, you remember when our Lord Jesus hung on Calvary's cross and He said, "It's finished." And the soldiers stuck the spear in His side. And out of His side came blood and water. Blood and water. And all through the Old Testament Scriptures, all through the Scriptures, you had water. You had washing. And everybody that, when they came to the tabernacle, the priest had to wash. There was a laver. They had to wash in that laver before they could come in. There was all these different kinds of washings that took place. And then it was full of blood. There was blood everywhere. Blood had to be shed constantly. The water, the washing of water, is because we are by nature polluted in sin. We're defiled in sin. We have to be washed. And that water speaks to Christ being our sanctification. Sanctification. The purity of God's people. That which makes us pure, holy, acceptable to God, so that God, who is holy, can receive us. We have to be washed and be made clean. And the blood speaks to Christ's blood. They would take a lamb and that lamb would be spotless, and they would put the hands on the head of the lamb, and the sin of the people would be transferred to the lamb, and then the lamb was fit to be slain. And that was the order always. They didn't just come and bring a spotless lamb and kill a spotless lamb. They brought a spotless lamb, they transferred the sin to the lamb, and then the lamb was slain. And this pictured Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, who had the sin of His people laid on Him, and God poured out justice on Him instead of on His people, so that His people are justified, washed, we're perfected forever. Scripture clearly tells us that Jesus Christ sanctified us by His will, by His one offering. By one offering we're perfected forever. Now, so this is what God's bearing witness to. He's bearing witness to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is His Son that God's provided the salvation of His people. He is the righteousness and holiness God has provided for His people. In fact, He's everything Scripture said He would be. I'll show you towards the end how He fulfilled everything in the Word of God. But this is what we're talking about. This is what our witnesses that we're going to look at today, this is what the witnesses are testifying. They're testifying Jesus Christ is salvation. He's holiness, He's righteousness, wisdom, redemption, high priest, the prophet, the priest, the king. He's everything sinners need to be saved by God. Now, first of all, has God provided more than one witness? Has He provided more than one witness? Scripture said, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for iniquity or for any sin, and any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." You cannot have just one witness. That's just my word against your word. You've got to have two or more witnesses. So has God provided more than one witness? Has He provided more than one witness? Now, for this point, we're just going to look and see, has God provided more than one witness? Well, first of all, it says, verse 6, this is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And then it says, and it's the Spirit that beareth witness. All right, there's one witness. The Spirit beareth witness. The Spirit beareth witness by speaking through a host of men. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's borne witness. And the way He's done it, He spoke through a host of men. That's why we have these Scriptures. These Scriptures right here were written by men. Go back a couple of pages to 2 Peter and look at chapter 1 and verse 21. Men didn't just write this word themselves. The Spirit of God moved them. The Spirit of God gave them what to write. Look here, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. The prophecy, that's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. Let's read verse 20. Know this first, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God, the Holy Spirit, bore witness by teaching men what to write. That's where these Scriptures came from. Now that can't be said about any other book that men claim is a religious book. This is the only one. This book right here doesn't contain the Word of God. This book is the Word of God. That's what this book is. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This book is its own witness that it's of God. The Spirit of God. Let me tell you what I mean. The way the Spirit of God used men to write this book is a witness that they were moved by the one Holy Spirit of God. You consider this. Men who did not know each other, who lived on separate continents, in separate countries, thousands of miles apart, hundreds of miles apart, without modern communication, or any way to communicate with each other. They wrote in three different languages over a span of 1,600 years. And this book right here has one unified, harmonious message that fits together as if they were sitting across a table from one another in the same room and just wrote it all down. It sounds like they were speaking with one heart. And you know what? They were. How's that? Because behind them all, there was this Holy Spirit of God giving them what to write. He's the author of this book. And so everything fits together. There's no discrepancies or contradictions. It all has one message. And that message is bearing witness to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He indeed is all in the salvation of His people. He's all. All right, so there's one witness. Now, the Spirit of God, He not only wrote this book, the Spirit of God also, on the day of Pentecost, you remember, the Spirit of God came upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Our Lord had ascended back. He told them to wait there. The Spirit of God came upon the apostles. And here you got all these different nations there that have all come up to Jerusalem to go through the ceremonies. And Peter stands up and the other apostles. And they stand up and they begin to preach in languages they never learned before. Foreign languages. When you read in Scriptures, they spoke in tongues. They're not speaking some heavenly language that nobody knows what it is. They spoke in other people's language, which was a foreign language to them, and they had never learned it. They just began to speak and was able to, it'd be like me all of a sudden speaking French to you and not knowing French, or speaking German and not knowing German. That's what they did. and they preached the gospel. They understood what was being said, and they preached the gospel to these men. That was the Spirit of God in everything they preached. You can read about it in Acts in the first, second chapter. Everything they spoke about was, "This is the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was the Spirit of God bearing witness. And then the Spirit maintained the preaching of the gospel through those apostles doing signs and wonders. The reason that they did signs and wonders in the early church was not just to impress people. It was to a degree, because the gospel was going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and the end of the old had come, and Christ is he's the fulfillment of it. So God was getting people's attention and showing them, "This indeed, these are my apostles who are preaching Christ is all," and they were able to do things that nobody else could do because the Spirit gave them the ability to do it. But the purpose was to turn men to Christ, to bear witness that He is indeed the righteousness and holiness of His people. And when those apostles, they could put their hands on people and they could give that gift to somebody else. But they were the only ones that could do that. So when they died, the last one died, that ability died out. People today that are claiming that they can speak in languages they've never learned and that they can do miracles and all these different things, no, they can't either, because that's over with. The purpose of it is served. The purpose of it is served. And he bore witness all maintaining the preaching of the gospel and kept this witness going, and that's why we still have the gospel preached today and why we will have it preached to we all come, Scripture says, to the unity of the faith. Christ will continue to provide His preachers. The Spirit of God will continue to bless people in their hearts until every last single elect child of God is unified in faith in Christ. So this is the purpose, to bring us to the unity of the faith. And the Spirit's bearing witness. And He does so in the hearts of His people. And then look here now in verse 7. So the Spirit bears witness in that regard. And then it says here, there's three that bear witness in heaven. Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. In other words, God is a witness. Now, there are three distinct persons in the Godhead. Now, if you're going to speak to somebody about the Trinity, I don't suggest you use that verse of Scripture to do it, because I don't know if you are aware, but people say that verse of Scripture doesn't belong in the Scriptures, and it was added by one of the copiers one time, and he put it in there, and that's why it's there. So your Jehovah's Witnesses are going to try to claim that doesn't belong in there. So if you want to use that, but it's all through the Word of God that we worship a God in three persons. That's all through the Scriptures. First thing God did is, let us make man in our own image. Let us make man in our image. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's all through the Scriptures. But we worship three distinct persons who is one God. It's one God with three distinct persons. We do not worship three gods. We worship one God in three distinct persons. I know this is difficult to understand. You're not going to understand it. You're just not. It's just something. Great is the mystery of godliness, and this is something you can't understand. God in three persons. It's not that He's merely manifest in three distinct persons. God is one God in three distinct persons. And the three persons of the Godhead all bear witness that Jesus, that man that walked this earth, is Himself God in human flesh. He is Himself the salvation of God's people. God the Father, He created a world where everything in this world has one purpose: to glorify His Son. Let me show you. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. It's speaking here, verse 12, how we give thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And look down at verse 19. He's talking about Christ then, and it says, verse 18. It says, Christ is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, because it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. The Father's witness is, this is my Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. The Father spoke this from heaven. And then the Son here in our text is called the Word of God, because the Word is the revelation. And Christ, God the Son, is the revelation of the triune God. So He's listed here as the Word. If you go to John, first chapter, and read this, the first few verses with me, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Look down now at verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. That means the Son, full of grace and truth. He's the Word, and He's how we know who God is. That's why He's called the Word, is the Son of God, is how God manifests the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Back in Colossians, I'll read this to you. I'm getting way off track here, but let me go to Colossians chapter 2. It says here, in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is manifest in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. That's why He's listed here as the Word. He's the revelation of God. And then God the Holy Ghost, that's the Spirit, who we just saw was bearing witness. So here's more than one witness. You got the Spirit bearing witness through all these men He's borne witness through. You've got three witnesses in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then you have more witnesses in the earth. Look here in verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. This is the unified testimony of the gospel. Because here's what He's talking about. We saw this last time in this message, when I looked at this. When the gospel's being preached and the gospel's going forth, the Spirit of God, He says the Spirit of God bears witness within His child, within His people, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, all our salvation. And He does it by washing us with water by the Word. Remember the washing of water by the Word? That's what the water stands for. And He does it by the sprinkling of the blood of Christ on our conscience, which purges our conscience so we can hear the truth and believe the truth. And so you have this witness now. So if there's any skeptics, here's what God's saying to us. We got far more than one witness. We got far more. If you had this many witnesses in court, we would receive the witness of men, wouldn't we? Why won't we receive the witness of God? Look at this. Look at these witnesses we have. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You got all these scriptures and all the Spirit's given us through men that have written the scriptures. You got the witness of the full unified testimony of the gospel that He bears witness in the hearts of His people. So there's way, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God's greater. And this witness of God is the witness He's testifying of His Son. Not only do we have a greater witness, they're witnessing something better than any man could ever witness to us. He's witnesses the truth of the gospel of His Son. Now look at the second thing. All right? It's required in a court of law that the witness be truthful. Not only can you have more than one witness, they got to be truthful. They got to be credible. Scripture says, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. So they got to be credible. Has God provided credible witnesses? Are they truthful witnesses? Are they witnesses that can be counted on? Well, verse 6, the Spirit bears witness because the Spirit is truth. He's not just truthful, He is truth. He is truth. Look at John 16. Our Lord said, verse 13, He said, when He, the Spirit of truth, that's what He's called, the Spirit of truth, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. When will a man, if a man's not interested in this gospel, and they act like they're too good for it, and they're just humoring you to be sitting in your presence while you preach it, why are they doing that? God's not speaking to them. That's all. God's just left them to themselves. When He speaks, He bears witness. And He witnesses truth, and He declares Christ. He bears witness of Christ. Well, what about the witness in heaven, the triune God? Is He truth? We don't even have to look at this, do we? Scripture says, God's not a man that He should lie. Neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He not spoken, will He not do it? Titus 1:2 says, He's God that cannot lie. You mean there's something God cannot do? Yes, God cannot lie. Why? He's holy God, that's why. He's the rock, His work is perfect, all His ways are judgment. He's a God of truth without iniquity. He's just and He's righteous. So yes, we have the triune God. He's truthful. What about the witness in the earth? Is the witness in the earth truthful? He says there's three that bear witness in the earth. It's the Spirit, the water, and the blood. We're born, Scripture says, of what kind of seed? Incorruptible seed. Now, if you've been listening to the messages on Thursday night, and you know when I'm going through 1 John, I cannot preach a message without going to 1 Peter and reading this. So I'm going there. 1 Peter, chapter 1, he's talking here about the Word of God. And, you know, I said the Spirit, the water, and the blood, that's all together is the incorruptible seed, the gospel that's preached. The Spirit bears witness of the Word, the washing of water by the Word, and the blood. Now look here, what he says about it. He says in verse 21, it's by Christ that we believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory. He gave Him glory to shed all this in our heart, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, when the Spirit gives you life, you bow to Christ, and that's when you believe you love your brethren. And it's unhypocritical then, it's real. And you love them with a pure heart fervently. Here's why. You've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. The Word of God is living and it abides forever. This Word is not just like any other word on a page. When the Spirit of God has made this Word, has brought this Word into your heart, this gospel is living. This Word is alive. That's how come it never gets old to a believer. It's new every day because it's alive and it abides forever. And that's how come we're alive inwardly and abide forever because we're born of it. Now look, this is why you got to be born of it. Verse 24, because all flesh is grass and all the glory of a man is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof fades away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is why this God says it pleased him to save through the foolishness of preaching, because this is the incorruptible seed. And the Spirit of God, now our text says, the Spirit of God washes you with the water of the Word in regeneration, Titus 3, not by works of righteousness we've done, by His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration, which He poured out on us abundantly through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because He's justified us, and we're heirs, and we need to be brought into this sonship. And this is why Christ said He sanctified Himself, that I might wash them with water by the Word and present them to myself spotless and without blemish. And it's the blood. Our Holy Spirit said, Hebrews 9, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's what He's saying here in 1 John 5, 7. Is the Spirit, with the washing of water by the Word, sprinkling of that blood, this unified testimony is all truth. It's incorruptible truth. And that's how we're born of God. That's how, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. So yes, number one, we got more witnesses than one. Number two, all these witnesses are true. They're all truth. They are truth. And they all bear witness of the truth. So, if we receive the witness of men, bearing witness to useless things that are not even important things, if we receive their witness, John says the witness of God's greater. And this is a more important witness, that He's testifying of His Son. Why don't we receive His witness? All right, lastly, in a court of law, they must be corroborating witnesses. They have to all agree. These witnesses have to be testifying the exact same thing. There can't be no discrepancy between the witnesses. They have to be telling, one gets up, states facts, the other one gets up, states facts, and they all agree on what they've seen. Well, is that the case with the witness of God? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself here, He bore witness by fulfilling the whole Word of God. That's what He did. The blood and the water signifies He fulfilled the whole Word. Let me show you that. John 19. And I'm just about done. I want to show you this, though. John 19. Our text says when He came not by water only, but by water and blood. Look here. John 19:32. Then came the soldiers, and they brake the legs of the first, and they came and they broke the legs of the other, which was crucified with Him. But when they came to Jesus, saw that He was dead already, they brake not His legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. That's what John's talking about in our text. Now, what did that mean? What did that mean? And he that saw it, bear record that his record is true. He bare testimony, he bore witness, and his witness is true. And he knoweth he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. That was the Scripture. So that's why they didn't break a bone of his, because that was the Scripture. Again, another Scripture said, they shall look on Him whom they've pierced. That's why they pierced Him. And all through the Scripture, blood, water, and all those washings said Christ is sanctification. And all through the Scripture, the blood shed of all those lambs and bulls said Christ is our justification. And when Christ hung on that cross, He said, it is finished. He said, I'm the fulfillment of everything that's been written in all this Old Testament Scripture. I'm the fulfillment of it. And He is the fulfillment of it. We're washed, sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're justified by Christ. Justified freely by His grace to the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, who God set forth as a propitiation through faith in His blood. In His blood. And both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call us brethren. He sanctified us by one offering on the cross, Hebrews 9 says. He's our sanctification. The water and blood that flowed from His side said, He's fulfilled everything. He's fulfilled everything. A bone of His wasn't broken because He's the fulfillment of Scripture. He's the end for the whole purpose of it. Now, the Spirit bears witness to that. That's what John's saying. Well, what does He say to us? The Spirit says He bears witness of Christ. And I'll tell you some things He did whenever that happened. The veil. Now, this veil was soaked. One thread was woven 6 times, I think it was. One thread was woven 6 times. And then they were woven double. So, this thing was thick, this veil. And inside it was the mercy seat. Well, Christ is the mercy seat. He's the one that mercy seat pictured. And that lamb that would be slain, Christ is the one that lamb pictured. And that water that washed, Christ is the one that water pictured. And that high priest that would go in once a year into that Holy of Holies by himself with blood and offer it on that mercy seat to cover the law and to appease God, Christ is that high priest. He's everything that was pictured there. So you know what the Holy Spirit did? Split that veil from the top all the way down to the bottom. And it opened up. And there wasn't a mercy seat in there. There was no ark in there because it had been lost a long time ago in one of the wars they went into. It's gone. They've been faking it for 600 years. And it opened up. And the Lord said by that, He's the one that finished it. That happened when He cried out, "It's finished." That's when that happened. Signifying He's the one that all the Scriptures has been speaking about. And then guess what happened? The earth quaked and the rocks rent. Who do you think did that? This witness did it. And to punctuate it all, those soldiers, that centurion that was sitting there, it says he saw Jesus and he saw the earthquake and he saw all those things that were done and he feared greatly. Who put that fear in his heart? The Spirit of God did, bearing witness of Christ. And you know what he said? This was truly the Son of God. The Spirit bore witness. Well, do the other witnesses agree with the Spirit that He is indeed the end of the law, that He's the righteousness, holiness, redemption, wisdom, high priest, prophet, priest, king, everything? Does the rest of these witnesses agree with the Spirit? There are three that bear record in heaven, and they're the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They agree fully. They agree fully. Our God, the Father, spoke from heaven on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, he saw Moses and Elias, and he saw Christ. And Peter said, "Well, this is great. Let's build a tabernacle to all three of them." And all of a sudden, bam, they come a loud noise from heaven, and they hit the deck. And when they hit their face, and God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son. You hear Him. Don't you build anything for Moses. Don't you build anything for Elias. You hear my Son." And Peter looked back up, and Moses wasn't there and Elias wasn't there either, just Christ alone. The other Father agrees. Does the Word agree? The Son of God? Of course He agrees. He is the one we're witnessing of. And the whole revelation is concerning Him being the salvation of His people. All He ever preached was the truth of God. And we saw the Spirit bears witness with Him. The triune God testified, "Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we're His witnesses of these things. So is also the Holy Ghost, whom God's given to them that obey Him." So they all agree, brethren. They all agree. They all agree. Now, for you that believe God, why is it you believe it? You see there's more than one witness. You see that they're all truthful witnesses. And you see that they all agree that Jesus Christ is all. Why do you believe this? What makes you believe it? Look at verse 10. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." That's why you believe it. God's put this witness in you. The Spirit of God's come into your heart, and He's made you believe, and you agree. Yes, you receive His testimony. What about those that don't believe Him? He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. He that doesn't believe God right now, anybody sitting here right now that doesn't believe Jesus Christ is the wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Now, He's everything this book declared. You can't save yourself by your works. You don't have a will. You don't have anything to do it. You're calling God a liar. Because He's given ample witness. He said he calls God a liar because he believes not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God's given to us eternal life. He didn't make you earn it. He gave it. And this life's in His Son. It's nowhere else. It's not in your works. It's not in your will. It's not in your church. It's not in your denomination or the walking in an aisle or church membership or the baptismal pool or it's not anywhere but Christ. That's it. Faith in Him. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written, and I'm preaching these things to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. I want you to know you have eternal life. And to you that's sitting here skeptical, I'm preaching that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. I want you to believe Him. If you receive the witness of men, the witness of God's far greater. And He bears witness of His Son. He's life. Believe on Him. Believe on Him. You'll have eternal life. And it'll be because He put the witness in you and you'll give Him the glory. All right.